Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Tassel, Baltimore. We are Baltimore positive. I'm trying to remain positive around here despite the Ravens' outcomes. We are putting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour together. It is all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with Liberty Pure Solutions. I'll have some Raven scratch-offs to give away. I am putting dates together at Fadley's, Coco's, and Costas in Timonium. All of this will be happening hopefully before I age, and hopefully before my colonoscopy that I've been talking about, because we have a great new partnership with the hospital. My brother was born. I've had many friends born, many friends give birth at GBMC. We talk about all the things going on over there, and anniversaries, and hanging big 60s up on campus, and doing things over there. But this one's going to be a little different because we've had a lot of doctors on talking about different things and important things, but this one really hits home with me. Everybody knows my wife is a two-time cancer survivor. She's had a couple of bone marrow transplants, but one of the things that made it incredibly difficult, above and beyond what a walking miracle she is today, is that she was diabetic and diagnosed as diabetic at 19. And I'm going to welcome Allison Ashcraft in. She's not a doctor, but I'm going to play one on the radio if we can do that, at least today. She has a very special title that is a certified diabetes care and education specialist, which is exactly what I need as a caregiver to a type 1 diabetic that I'm now 22 and a half years into my marriage. And Allison, first things first, welcome. I know you're at GBMC and you're in good hands, and we're good hands over there, and I'll be in good hands when I have my special 50-something men's care, health care that I'm going to be participating in November. But there's so many ways that people touch health care, and when you're diabetic and you're have someone you love that's diagnosed, it becomes a kitchen issue for breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks, sugar tablets, orange juice, and all of that stuff. And there's so much I need to know. So I'm so glad that you're joining me today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
All right. So my wife's diagnosed at 19. The night I met her, she was sugar crashing and didn't want to tell me she was diabetic because she said it scared off dates. And literally, so she said, "Hey, you got to run and get me like something to eat." And I'm like, "All right, what are you hungry for?" She's like, "I don't care, just get me something." And I'm like, "Okay." And I came back, and lo and behold, she had a needle out and was jabbing herself. And that's how I learned that she was diabetic, because she didn't like say on a first date, like, "Hey, I'm diabetic and I got to watch what I eat tonight at dinner. And I might eat too much. I might not eat too much. I might take too much insulin." And this is before pumps, meters. She has the little reader that she moves around that Mark Andrews has all the time. I've talked to Mark Andrews about that. Anybody that we ever see who's diabetic, we try to share information. It really is, I don't want to say a secret society, but it's one of these societies that I get in a yoga class and see somebody with a monitor or see somebody. The empath in me first starts with, "Oh, they're a little different." And I think my wife's little tags on her would let people know that. But it is a completely different lifestyle when you're diabetic.
Yeah, and it's great that we have so many different new technologies out there to help manage it. So, like you were talking about, the continuous glucose monitor, the insulin pumps, all of those things are things that we help patients to understand, know how to use. We also talk about, nutrition, of course, the meal planning, physical activity aspect. And then we also talk about different medications because there's so many different medications out there that can be used to help manage blood sugar levels.
Well, my wife is sort of famously diabetic in my world, to friends, and on more than one occasion. I can remember an occasion right now, it get me emotional, but a friend of mine's son got diagnosed 6, 7 years old. Now this kid's 25 now, it was 20 years ago. First call to my wife, "Hey, our son's been diagnosed. What? We what do we do?" Like, and I think that this is where you come in, right? Like, when the first things first, let's try to stay away from type 2, and we'll talk about 1 and 2. We'll talk about all the education part of this. But when it happens, and when you're diagnosed either through gene pool, through lifestyle, whatever it is that you need to change your lifestyle, you need to involve insulin, you need to involve meters and monitoring. It becomes a family affair, very much so, right? And I'm 22 years into this, and if you gave me the dum-dum test right now, I would fail it. My wife is diabetic and knows everything. I'm always latching on, saying, hi, low, what do we need to do? But I don't really understand it the way I need to.
Yeah, it is absolutely a support system. And then also having good practitioners on your side. So having an endocrinologist, primary care physicians, and then of course, a certified diabetes educator that can help again to understand all those pieces of diabetes as well as the nutrition that goes along with it, because it is different, whether it's type 1, type 2, gestational diabetes, or LADA, which is the later onset of type 1. So that one is, it may present as type 2 at first, but eventually it will progress into type 1. And so the difference between type 1 and type 2 is that the type 1 is where the beta cells of the pancreas are no longer producing any insulin. And so those patients need to use insulin when they eat to lower the blood sugar levels. Type 2 is an insulin resistance. And so that is that the insulin is just not working quite as well to open the cell up to take in that glucose. And so that LADA is kind of like a in the middle or a 1.5, where it might be type 2 at first. They might still have some beta function, and then eventually they will no longer produce insulin.
My wife dreams of a life of not carrying needles around and stabbing herself several times a day. When I met her, she was pricking fingers a million times to check sugar, meter, and then the pumps happened, and she doesn't take as much insulin as the normal type 1 diabetic does. Her body still produces a little from what I understand. And I'm 22 and a half years into this, and I've been in meetings with people like you with my eyes roll back, and I'm queasy about blood like you wouldn't believe for a guy who was a caregiver of a woman who had all sorts of blood and transfusions and spent 155 nights in the hospital. So I don't think I have so much respect for everything you all do, but when a patient comes in frightened, scared, as I would be if I were diagnosed with diabetes, I wouldn't say I would die, but I would be like, oh my God, because I don't like needles. I don't like watching my wife give needles. She does it everywhere, in the airport, at dinner, any, she just whips out her needles like it's nothing. And every time I'm like, I think about it for weeks, just coming into GBMC to get anything done because I'm that guy. People come very frightened to you, right? And probably very disillusioned about what it is. Now they Google it, and and there are so many modern ways to make diabetes more, I don't want to say desirable, but palatable, livable from a lifestyle standpoint. And I've seen this through 22 years, where I always know my wife's number. She's got a watch on. She knows her number in real time, every minute of every day, and it wasn't always that way. So I've seen where science has really come a long way, and I'm sure from your education and from what you've done from schooling to now, there's things happening every day to make it better for people like my wife, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what's exciting about this position is all of the new technologies. We're always learning about new pumps, new continuous glucose monitors, different medications that are coming out. I mean, it's always changing. And providing that hands-on training. So in the office, we have them practice, sticking their finger, giving an insulin injection so that that way they feel confident in being able to self-manage their diabetes, because that's ultimately our goal, is to empower patients to be able to self-manage this disease.
Well, and it must be self-managed, right? Like there are times, again, I'm tethered to a diabetic 24 hours a day, and she's really well managed, right? But boy, when it goes down, irritability, disagreeable, it is a very, I don't speak about it much, but there have been times we've been out public and her sugar's gone down, and there's a personality switch that happens that I think you really need to recognize as someone who loves someone who's going through this very, very rapid personality change instantly at 6:30 at night at dinner, somewhere where you're out and you need to find sugar tablets or orange juice immediately. And we've been in some really, really We're sort of wanderlust people. We've been in fields and in weird places needing sugar and sugar tablets and orange juice. And my wife is maniacal about it, but there are times where, like, you got to get me something. And I spent $10 last week at the Hollywood Bowl buying a little orange juice because her sugar crashed on me on a mountain that we climbed up in Los Angeles last week, literally. It was an expensive sugar crash, but like she needed it. Boom, strawberry, banana, whatever it was, boom, we had to do it. So this was 6 days ago.
Wow. Yeah. And having that family member support, so having them come to visits with us really does help to have them know, like you said, identifying those symptoms of a low. And so that's usually some type of confusion, maybe some mood change, shakiness, usually sweating. And in those moments, it is important to get 15 grams of a quick acting carb. So, like you were saying, the orange juice, maybe 15 to 16 Skittles or jelly beans, tablespoon of sugar, or some of the glucose, 4 glucose tablets. And so you will find that most diabetics will carry something like that with them for those moments. But remaining calm, giving them that, and then checking their blood sugar and checking in, can really help to manage those lows.
I can tell you travel messes with her too, and time zones for sure. She crashed again. Allison, when you come on, we're going to talk about diabetes here, especially when she's not here to defend herself. This becomes even more fun for me. She crashed in the middle of Beverly Hills, in the middle of the bougiest like thing that had all sorts of like $15 orange juice and chia seed pudding and different things like that. So I mean, I talked her into like a $6 chocolate. It was sort of that way. But this happens all the time, and I'm just pleasured to have you on because I want to learn about GBMC and the program because we kind of live near a campus around here. The modern part of this in how often someone needs to come and see you in the beginning if they're diagnosed. And also, like, my wife has no choice, right? This is where we are. She's 52 now. She's been at this for 3.5 decades. But I hear of people that say, I went to the doctor and they say, I might be heading toward becoming a diabetic, or I'm trending toward this. And there's lifestyle issues that I lost a lot of weight about 20 years ago and keep my health and the best management I can, which is why I come to GBMC and which is why I'm listening to everyone to do all the things I'm supposed to do. But for people who are borderline or at risk, maybe that you would say some lifestyle advice and what you see with people that you keep them from having to do needles and having to do all of these things by better managing themselves.
Yeah, so for type 1, that is an autoimmune disease. So that one we cannot necessarily, unfortunately, prevent. There are medications out there that are new medications to help prevent it. But for type 2, definitely that lifestyle, healthy eating is a big piece. And so there's kind of 5 tips that I would say that are healthy habits that just in general are great for weight management and just overall health. And so that's consuming balanced meals with nutrient-dense foods. And so that means foods that have a lot of vitamins, minerals, and fiber in them. So fruits and vegetables, our whole grains, lean proteins, and then our healthy fats. Another thing that's important is meal timing. So making sure that we're having frequent and consistent meals. And that helps with developing a healthy metabolism. It also helps stabilize blood sugar throughout the day. And then it can also prevent from overeating. And then focusing on water intake and really limiting those sugary beverage intakes. So juices, sodas, our lemonades, even energy drinks and lattes, because they just add a lot of sugar and calories. So really aiming to consume, the general recommendation is about 8 to 10 cups of water per day. And then another healthy habit would be movement. So there's kind of 3 parts to movement. One is the physical activity piece. So getting at least 150 minutes of physical activity a week, and that can be broken into 30 minutes, 5 days a week, or whatever works for the individual. The second one is strength training. So if you're having any weight management or weight loss, or as we age, we tend to lose our lean body mass. So adding in a day or two of just any type of movement that's taxing those muscles can help to maintain our lean body mass. And then the last piece of movement is just daily movement. So getting up, limiting screen time, and using the stairs instead of the elevator, or parking a little bit farther away from a store and walking in, yard work, things like that really add up and are preferable throughout the day. And then that final piece is sleep, and that really is important for hormone balance. And so therefore it's important for weight management and for prevention and management of disease. So the
I was
goal.
doing okay till you got to the sleep part. All the rest of it, I'm being a good doobie. But the sleep part, I don't sleep enough, you know?
Yeah, 8 hours is the recommendation for a night. It is tough.
I got things to do. Allison Ashcraft is here. She is a certified diabetes care and education specialist. She's trying to give me some care and some education so I can give my wife better care. I would just say this about the diet part of being married to a diabetic is that it certainly all of these things, my wife is, clearly has to be maniacal about this or she would be literally falling down. She has to manage it 24 hours a day, all day. Therefore, I manage it with her. Therefore, I eat better. I don't sleep better, but I eat better and I do all these things that that are a part of this. From your perspective of being able to help people, give me a good news story of somebody that comes in and actually listens to you and does all these things and goes home and 6 months later doesn't have to worry about diabetes so much anymore.
So unfortunately, we do not see pre-diabetics, but weight loss really does help to prevent it. So we see patients that have now had that diabetes diagnosis, but there are good news stories of patients that will come in with A1Cs greater than 8, maybe even up into the 10, 11s, and then we work with them to get it down to our goal is below a 7. With diet, lifestyle, medication, again, with all of the different devices that are out there. And then sometimes we can even get patients back into a pre-diabetic range, which would be that 5.7 to 6.4 range, or back into the normal range, which is a 5.6 and below.
Well, when my wife wants to brag, some of us brag about like the Ravens score. Or my wife brags about her A1C. Yeah, it's my numbers are good. And when you've lived with it as long as we have as a family, you become a little immune to it, and it's forever, right? Like it's just there. So part of it is when we're out on the road traveling, what we eat, how much insulin to take, all of it is a little bit of a negotiation with yourself. And you have to really, you learn self-awareness. I don't think there's any question about that. And you learn a discipline that only someone that can witness. It's inspiring. I tell my wife all the time, I say, you inspire. Every time she's sticking herself with a needle, I'm like, my eyes light up. And I'm like, I remember the first time she gave herself a needle. And I just think these people are like sort of walking heroes to me, honestly. And I see Mark Andrews running around playing sports. And we had a pitcher here named Jason Johnson. It was the original diabetic I knew when I had a girlfriend that was diabetic. I went to him. I'm like, hey, what do I need to know about this? I think I'm in love with a diabetic because there wasn't a circle, maybe the way there is, maybe even a GBMC that when you're diagnosed, you realize you're not the only one.
Right, absolutely. Some of these patients, they really are amazing.
Well, I appreciate you coming on and try. Did I leave anything out? Because if my wife reached me, make sure you ask her about this and that. Because she was telling me all this. There's something about a 1.5 or a 1.5. She said to me, "There's, do you know, there's more than type 1 and type 2?" And I'm like, "All right, so I'm gonna have to ask Allison about that."
Right. So that's that LADA. The 1.5 is the LADA. That I mentioned earlier, it might onset as like a type 2, but then eventually it is an autoimmune. So it's a genetic autoimmune disease where eventually those beta cells do, or the body attacks those beta cells. And so the body no longer produces insulin, but they might have some insulin use in the beginning. And then eventually it will progress into type 1 to where they'll need insulin. And then there's also gestational diabetes, which is a diabetes that's just during pregnancy. And so we see a lot of those patients as well. And that's because the placenta is secreting hormones that increase that insulin resistance during pregnancy.
Well, Allison Ashcraft, if I run into you at a cocktail establishment or at a happy hour somewhere, my wife runs into you, she will just talk your ear off about diabetes. I feel terrible that she's not here to be a part of the segment. I almost wanted to include her because I'm like, You'll ask smarter questions than me. You're the diabetic. I'm not, but it's always nice to learn more about it because I am sort of embarrassed that I don't know enough about it. But she is so fiercely independent about wanting to manage it that she doesn't want me having to know her number. But then I'm on a yoga mat next to her night before last, and I see her messing around, and she's reaching for tablets, and then I have to whisper, "What's your number?" 78. It's going up. Don't worry. And I'm like, okay, all right. So now you speak my language, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I appreciate you. I appreciate our partners
Thank
over at
you so much.
GBMC. And GBMC does so many things that can be, I talk about making babies. We do commercials and all of that. We've been talking about other things, but certainly for diabetes care and for local right here in the Towson area in Baltimore County, they do great work. And we have outpost centers all around the community as well with our partners at GBMC. I'll be telling you more about that. Less about my colonoscopy, especially once it's over with, and everybody tells me that I'm clear because I've been getting hassled, poked, prodded, encouraged, gently encouraged to participate in men's health, even though I'm 57 and I feel healthy, but I'm going to find out for sure here this fall whether I really am healthy. So I'm appreciative of my partners at GBMC. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Back for more sports and more Ravens. Hopefully, good news right after this on Baltimore Positive.